Okay, so let's begin in the bottom of Chav Gimel on Beis, the new Mishnah. We've been discussing a lot of the inyanim related to Kriyas Torah. The Mishnah at the bottom says, "Hakarei b'Torah lo yifchos mishlosha psukim." We learn this halacha that a person who reads from the Torah can't read any less than three psukim. V'lo yikarei l'maturgamon yosin pasuk echad. And in those days, they used to have the custom, they'd recite a pasuk, and then the maturgamon would give the targum of it. So, the Meturgman can't read more than one pasuk at a time. It has to be a Hebrew, Aramaic, alternating one pasuk at a time. In contrast to Benavi Shlosha, when it comes to the Navi, we permitted them to read three pasukim, the Meturgman to read three pasukim at a time. And the reason being, look at the top Rashi, he says, Benavi Shlosha im Ratz, if they want, they could do three at three, because Lo Yich Paslan doesn't make so much of a difference to us. Im Yitef, they make a mistake, the Lo Nafkamina Hora, there is no such Hora that comes out of the Navi, so what's worst case scenario? They might misunderstand the story that's going on, and not the worst thing in the world, so therefore they allow three Pesukim at a time. It's a little bit more convenient, less Tircha de Tzibur. Okay. Now, Tosa says the custom apparently then in his times was they would still do the Targum. Tosa in the top right, Benavi Shlosha, V'achshav nowadays, ein anu makar makrin the meturgman afilu benavi ela pasuk echad. Nowadays, says Tosfos, they would only do one pasuk at a time, even a navi shlo yavolito, so they shouldn't make a mistake. He wasn't like Rashi. Rashi said there's no concern of hara. I guess Tosfos was more concerned with even understanding a pasuk pshat. The story was a problem to them. Rak betchilas haftar, only in the beginning, anu makrim gimel, they would just do three psukim in the beginning and three meturgamams. Lahodia ki kein hadin ilo dechayshin shiita. That was the psak hadin. So it sounds like this bit of machlokas Rashi Tosos there, but that was the custom in the times of Tosos. Then the Mishnah says hayushlashdan shlosh parshos koron echad echad. Now, although we allowed you to read three psukim and three targums at the same time by Navi, if the three psukim were broken up in parshos, meaning they had spaces, they're three individual psukim, even though they are in a row consecutively, then you have to separate them one by one. Then the Mishnah tells us, "Medalag in a Navi, vein medalag in a Torah." You could jump around in a Navi, but you can't jump around in a Torah. So you could go. Sometimes we have certain Torahs will be in, let's say, I don't know. I'm not going to think of a good example. Let's say in Hosea, and then you could skip to Micha or something to skip around and do different parts of the Navi. That's permitted, but the Torah we don't allow you to skip from the beginning of Bereishis to some point in Shemos. That's not allowed, and the reason being for that is because there's Tircha that Tzibur Rashi explains. And then Ad Kama Hu Medalig, what's the limit? Could you really jump from the beginning of Yeshua to the end of Divrei Hayamim if one wanted? So the Mishnah tells us no. Ad Kidei Shelo Yifsok Meturgam, you have only enough time. Let's say the 3 minutes it takes the Meturgam to explain the Pesukim you left off, you could scroll that much. So let's say you did three Pesukim in a Navi, so it takes 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes to scroll to the next page. If it takes more than that to get to the next section you want to read, then that's not allowed because of Tircha the Tzibur. Can I see where we skip, yeah? Oh, so that's within one reading, but that's two different aliyahs, I guess. Right, that's two different aliyahs. Right. We're talking about one aliyah skipping, right. So the Gemara says, Hani gimel psukim kenegin me. So we already saw this, but the Gemara asks again, these two psukim that you have to, the minimum amount of psukim that have to be read, who does this correspond to? Amar of Asi kenegin Torah Nevi'im ksuvim. Kenegin the Tanakh. That's why you always need three psukim at least. Lo yikar lematurgamon yosim pasuk echad. Unavi gimel psukim. Vayu shloshin shlosh parshos akor echad echad. That was from our Mishnah. Keep going. What's an example of a navi where the three psukim that are consecutive are in fact three separate parshios? So this is a pasuk that's found in Yeshaya. The pasuk is kicham arshem chinam nimkartem. And then the pasuk says kicham arshem lokim mitzrayim yared imi. And then the third pasuk is Vata Malipo Nu Hashem. So these are all three pasukim that are pasuk Gimel Dal Hey, but there are breaks in between each of them. This, according to all opinions, must be read separately. Hebrew and then Aramaic, Hebrew then Aramaic. You cannot read the three of them together in one shot if you're doing the Targum. Then the Mishnah told us Medalgin Benavi Vein Medalgin Betorah. You'll have to skip over pasukim in Navi, but you cannot scroll over in the Torah. Asks the Gemara from the Gemara in Yuma, if you remember, were many. The Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, after all the Avot, he would go to the Azara and read the following Psukim. Korei Achrei Mos, then he'd read Ach Be'esor, V'Hakam Medalig. So Achrei Mos is in Sefer Vayikra. And Ach Be'Esor is in later on in Vayikra in Parsha Emor. So one's in Parsha Achimos, one's in Parsha Emor. So there's a number of Sukkim in between, Parshas in between. So how is that permitted? We're not allowed to be Medalik. So answers the Gemara, Amar Abai, Lo Kasha, Kan Bechdesh Yisoka Turgman, Kan Bechdesh Lo Yisoka Turgman. So the difference is, we permit you to still scroll over the time it takes for the Turgman to explain. So when the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur gets the last pasuk in Achrimos, apparently there's a Metargman there. And the Metargman would explain that last pasuk, and then quickly he'd scroll over a few columns until he get to Parsha Emor, to the appropriate point of Ach Be'Esor. The Gemara says that doesn't seem to be so clear with the Mishnah, because Ha'ala Katani, doesn't our Mishnah tell us, Medalag Menavi Ve Medalag Metorah, you're allowed to skip by Navi, but you cannot skip by Torah. Vad Kamahu Medalag, and within regards to Navi, how much are you allowed to skip over? That you're only allowed to skip a Navi so long as that with time you get to the next spot, the Meturgaman hasn't finished yet. Michlal, the implication is, but when it comes to Torah, it seems like you cannot skip at all according to our Mishnah. So you can say the case of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is talking about a case where he scrolled over while the Meturgaman was still explaining it. Our Mishnah says you can never jump over, you can never skip columns when it comes to the Torah. Now the point is as follows. Within one inyan, the same topic, you are allowed to skip over, even by the Torah. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur can skip over within the same topic of Yom Kippur from Parshas Achrimos to Parshas Emor. But when it comes to two inyanim, so then we only allow you to do that by Navi, could you skip from one place to the next, but by Torah, you can't skip at all. Hatanya, the Braisa says, B'nichus Rashi tells us, as a support for this concept, Medalag Torah B'nin Echad, straight out, you're allowed to skip in the Torah with one inyan. So this may be, according to Harry, according to the question of Ayichal, when it comes to the Tanya Sibra, even if you want to contend that's an issue, one would be allowed to still within the same topic of the Chet HaEgel, the discussion there. And further, the Brisa writes, of a Navi B'shnei Inyanim, and when it comes to Navi, we even allow you to skip from one place to the next if it's two different topics. Bakan, both situations, both by Torah and by Navi, they both have the requirement of Kadesh Lo Yifso Ka Turgumam. You cannot go any further than it takes the Turgumam to explain the Targum. Tani Idach, there's yet another Braisa that tells us, Ein Medalag Ben Navi Le Navi Ben Navi Shal Shnei Masar Medalag. You can't skip from one Navi to the next Navi. It has to be within the same Sefer, all within Yeshua, all within Shmuel, all within Shoftim. But within Transar, which is 12 small Nevi'im, you can't skip from one from Yonah to pick one, Zachar. You could skip from any of the 12 that you want. Ubavachla Yidalik Misofa Sefer L'Tchasar. As long as you don't go from the first of the Transar to the last of the Transar, you can't go all the way from the beginning to the end. Okay, the next Mishnah tells us, Hamafti B'Navi Hum Poris Al Shema. The person who is...
Like,
yeah.
There's an issue of whom I'm afraid.
Right. I don't say the same thing.
Say it again, that what?
The last line.
Oh, only going backwards.
Go backwards, right.
Rashi is lemefrei. Only backwards is a problem. But it's only backwards, it seems like, from the last to the beginning, though. It doesn't say any backwards. Otherwise, you should say, don't go out of order. Don't go lemefrei. Why does the dafka say, b'sof ha-sefer l'tchilasa?
Here it says, shedoy kreta t'parshil b'sedem ha-fuf. That's 18.
They explain here also the like what you got any backwards. Lav dafka the last, the beginning. Anytime it's backwards, that would be problematic. Okay. Okay. So the next Mishnah tells us now in Chav Dalam and Aleph Hamafti B'Navi Hu Paris Al Shema. A person who is, Rashi tells us, Misha Ragil Lahafti B'Navi, Tziknu Chacham Mishahi Poris As Hashemah. Person who is comfortable, the one who regularly lays Haftarah, so the Chacham said he should be the one who does Poris Al Shema. We spoke about yesterday exactly, at least according to Rashi, what does it mean to be Poris Al Shema? Who over Lashna Teva, he also is the one who, is going to be the Sheach Tzibur, who knows his Kabbav, he also could do Birkas Kohanim. Vim haya katan, however, if he's a katan, because we permit a katan also to be katan, then we don't allow him to do all the other parts of the tefillah. Rather, aviv o rabo over an al yadav ayadav. That we tell him to say that either his father or his rebbe should the one who, so he can, he lanes haftarah. So we don't say that he should be the one doing musaf, So we tell his father, his Rebbe, to take his place to do the rest of davening. Now, katan kore b'Torah, whom we targim. So katan, we also allow katan to even read, to get an aliyah and to read from the Torah. And he's also allowed to do the mitargumim. Aval ain't a paras al shema, but he is not allowed to do paras al shema. Ve'ainu over al shema teva, he also can't lead the tzibur as a shech tzibur. Ve'ainu knows his kabav, neither can he do the nisiyas kapayim, that's not permitted either. So Mishnah says now, pocheach, what's a pocheach? So Rashi tells us pocheach, b'masecha sofer mifarish kol shekrov nirim, when his knees are, apparent, when he's wearing shorts, let's say. And Rashi Tosa says a little bit different. It means when his clothing is ripped. So what is pocheach? What are the halachas regarding a pocheach? Let's say someone who's wearing shorts. He can be paras as shema. That's permitted. When we're targum, he could also get up there and give the targum of the sefer of the Kriyas HaTorah. Avaino kori b'Torah, but he himself cannot read from the Torah. Veino over l'shnei ha'teva, he also cannot be the shliach sibor. Veino knows his kabav, nor can he do pirkas kohanim. And regarding a summa, the halachas are paras as hashma. A blind person may do paras as hashma. Umar targum, he could also do the targum. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol shel rav miros meimav ainu paras hashma. Rabbi Yehuda qualifies this and says it's only true. He's only allowed to do this if he has once experienced in his lifetime he was able to see and lost his eyesight some point after. But if he never was able to see, then we don't permit him to say paras as hashma. Now there's the Baam Tosos is very interesting Tosos here. He talks about the Chiyuv by Summa. He says that Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that Summa is actually Pater in the Mitzos. The whole discussion about Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is only a Chiyuv midirabanan. Okay, and it compares
according
it to...
According to this, Katan can read the Torah.
According to this, a Katan can read from the Torah, yes. Okay. So says the Gemara now. My Taima. What's the reason what? So what's the reason why that they said the person who's going to who reads Haftorah should be the one who also davens Musaf and does all the other kibudim of the remaining part of Tefillah? So Rapapa Amar Mishum Kavod, because of Kavod. So what does the Kavod mean? Rashi tells us, Mishum Kavod, Lahavi L'fnei HaTeva, it's a great honor to be able to lead the Tzibur. Ha'ol Imam Tzi Atzma L'davar She'enu Kavod, O'tiknu L'zo L'Kavod. Since the guy was able to put himself out there and said, okay, I'll do Haftorah, which is not such a Kavadik thing apparently, so we allow him to do something more Kavadik. You did something that wasn't so becoming on you, you were the guy leading the Haftorah, so we'll let you do something more Kavadik, you let you lead the Musaf. So that was one. It's a schar for him. And Rabba Bar Simi Amar Mishim De Asilin Tzu, no, he thought it was a different reason because it might lead to fighting. So Rashi says, Mishim Insuye Hadavar Bali De Machlokas, it's going to come to a big debate. I'm doing Aftorah, and you're going to be the one who leads the Tzibor? I want to be able to lead the Tzibor. So you want to avoid fighting, so we let the guy, okay, you just stay up there, and you just continue, you finish the rest of davening. So what's the nafkamina? My binayu. Ika binayu, the Ovid bechinam. So let's say it was done for free. So the guy who, apparently they used to pay the guy who would lead the Tefillah. So the guy who... if it's about, if they did not pay the guy who lead a Musaf, so then they won't come to be fighting. What's the fight about? If it's about money, they're going to fight about money. If there's no money, they're not going to fight. But if it's about kavod, then we're still going to give the guy kavod, because since he took Haftorah, which is not so kavodic, we let him do something which is more kavod, namely that of Musaf. So that would be an afkamina between the opinions of Rav Papa and Rabba Bar Simi. Now the Gemara quotes from our mission as Uriah Tanan. Our Mishnah tells us if Imhaya Katan, Aviv or Rabba over an Aliyadam. If the Katan was the one who performed Haftorah, but we don't allow the Katan to lead us in the Musaf because he's not allowed to, so rather we ask his father or his Rebbe to lead the Tefillah. So now, I Amas Mishim Nitzuye, Katan Mar Nitzuyehu. So it makes sense if it's according about fighting that who's going to get the money for davening Musaf, so then we understand a Katan is also someone who's going to get into an argument. Alimi, my Mishim Kavod, Katan Mar Kavodhu. If it's an issue of kavod, is a katan have any honor? Does he have any kavod at all? He doesn't really care. He doesn't know any better. He's naive. So you give him haftorah, and then that's it. He's not going to be upset. He only got haftorah. He's not going to care. So it seems from the Mishnah, the fact that we have his Rebbe or his father replacing him sounds like it's not an issue of kavod. Rather, it's an issue of fighting. The Gemara says, no, there is kavod. Eliika kavod aviv the kavod rabo. No, because the father, his Rebbe, is going to be concerned of their own kavod vis-a-vis the child. So it's also going to lead to fighting as well. So either way, So it's really going to be not the chassid himself, rather it's going to be end up being the covet of the father or the fighting of the father who's going to be collecting the money.
Can you explain again why if a Muslim gets paid, why is it, how is it solved the matter?
So the guy's going to say, wait a second, I got half Torah, I did this for free. Why? Who are you to get paid to do the Muslim? I want to be able to do Muslim. Not fair, I'm getting I'm giving the free service.
So they used to pay. They didn't tell they had the shliach tzibur. They had a chazan. Anybody who did Muslim got paid.
That's what it seems like. I don't know the exact custom, but that's what it certainly seems like.
Maybe that's what it is.
No, but then they're going to fight. Why didn't you choose me? You should have chosen me then. I was going to fight. I wanted to be the shliach tzibur. I mean, that's probably why it was the big minhag. They're so chashit to have a chazan. Everyone pay the chazan. No one's going to fight. He'll be the one guy. He's always davening. And then that will get, he'll take the money. That was his parnasa.
Rabbi Gula said many, many years ago, if it was up to him, it's not a young Israel, obviously, thing. If it was up to him, he'd have a paid chazan. He doesn't have to worry who's making a mistake. Who's
100%.
He knows he's got a guy up there who does it right. And
right.
So he would like that.
Interesting.
A lot of the shuls do that because of that reason, not only because of single, because they're the one who deal with Bali Bat. You say, well, you cannot, and then you get stuck with people. Here, yeah. Also, sometimes you have people who have yartzeit and they go to the main shul. And, you know, it's not so pleasant to them. Not really.
Okay, fine. So Chav Dalam and Beis, top line, says the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah: Pocheach Paris al Shema. A person wearing shorts is not allowed to do Shema. Rav Me'abai, Katan Pocheach Mahu Shikar B'Torah. So, what about a Katan who's wearing shorts? Is he allowed to read the Torah? So, what's the issue here? So Rashi tells us Katan Pocheach Mahu Shikar B'Torah. Our Mishnah Rashi tells us with Gadol Pocheach Hud Aser. Mishum Lo Yarecha Bachar Evers Davar. Once he's a Gadol. So already, I guess his knees, his legs are considered davar erva. So there's an issur by gadol. A katan ain't a muzer, but by katan maybe he's not subject to these halachas. Odim alo plig palig masisim ben katan le gadol. Maybe the Mishnah says categorically, anybody wearing shorts cannot read from the Torah. So Gemara says amalei viti baylecha arum. So why don't you ask a question about a person who doesn't have any clothes at all? Arum my time alo. What's the reason why a arum by a katan? It's not an issue of the guy of Dava Erva or not, it's an issue of Kavod Tzibur. It's just simply not covered for the Tzibur to have a guy get up there who's inappropriately dressed, wearing shirts. And that's not inappropriate, but still not, you know, a way you represent the Tzibur. So therefore, shorts of a katan, even a guy katan wearing shorts, should not read from the Torah. Summa Pares Hal Shema. The Summa is permitted to do this concept of Pares Hal Shema. Tanya, Amru Lo Rabbi Yehuda. He said to Rabbi Yehuda, Harbe Tzafu L'Josh B'Merkava. Lo Rao. Many people attempted to try to see the visions of the Merkava, and were not successful. So Rabbi Huda, therefore what? So therefore, even though they weren't able to see it, does that mean they can't engage themselves in learning about it? So to a Summa, it's possible for him to learn, even though he can't really see what's going on. So even though he can't see the Maoros, doesn't see the light and the sun and the moon and the stars, he could still say such a bracha. So Rabbi Huda Hasam, Bav Nasa Deliva Talimus. It doesn't make any sense, your comparison. When it comes to the Merkava, nothing to do with actual seeing, it has to do with Havana in the lave, understanding, Bav Nasa, Bina, Belave, understanding in the heart. Haka Mechavim Yada, they're able to have proper intention and understand the Merkava in their imagination. But Hacha Mishim Hanahu, the Vaha Lesle Hana. But here, when it comes to the Bracha Maoros by Shema Yotza Maoros, that comes about Hana. And a blind person can't get any Hana, they can't see light. So what Hana do they get from the Maoros? Rabbanan says, Islay Hana, no, they do get Hana. Ki Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, call Yamai, Haisim in Star Amikaz. I was always troubled by the following pasuk. Vaisim in Mashish Bitaraim, Kashay Mashish Ha'iver Bafela. And the pasuk says that you would, feel around in the afternoon like a blind person feels around in the darkness. What does that mean exactly, that he's the blind person's feeling around in the air in the darkness? Dark and light mean the same thing for a blind person. What's Pshat in the Pasuk? So, Ad Shabba Maisel Yodei, once I saw the following episode, Pam Achas Hayisi Mahalach B'Ishan Laila. I was once walking in the thickness of the dark at nighttime, V'Afila, V'Raisi Suma Shaya Mahalach B'Derech V'Avuk B'Yodei. I saw a very strange thing. There was a blind person walking with a torch. So Amarti Lo, Bini, I said, my child, Avuka Zulamilcha, why exactly do you have a torch? You can't see. What's the fire helping you with? Amali Kolzman, he responds to me, Kolzman Shavuki Biadi, as long as I'm holding this torch, Bnei Adam Roano, so people see me, Umatin Osi Mina Pichasin, Makotim Mina Brok, and people protect me from the thorns, from things I walk into, from pits, from cracks. They protect me, so that we get Hana. Even though there's not direct Hana to a Summa, there is indirect Hana, and that's sufficient for a blind person to be able to say the Brach of Yotzeha Amaros. That's the reason why Rabbanan said they can say it, as opposed to Rabbi Huda thought they could not recite this bracha. Continuing on, we're moving nicely today. The Mishnah, I know, a little too quick, but still, we have to catch up for tomorrow's daf. The Mishnah tells us, Kohen Shiyesh B'yodav Mumin. The Kohen has certain blemishes on his hands, Lo Yisas Kapov. He's not allowed to perform Birkas Kohanim. Rabbi Huda Omer, Af Mishayu Yodav Tzvos Satis. A person has, Tzvos. Even a person has colors, his hands are dyed, full of marker or whatever type of dirty activity he was being involved in, so even such a person is not allowed to perform Birkas Kohanim. A satis, which Rashi tells us is krug. Is there a better definition? That I don't know French. It's a red dye. So this is part of the continuation. That's part of Rabbi Huda. Even a person who has his hands dyed besatis with red, he's also, and any other color for that matter, he also may not be nosek kapayim. Lo yisas kapav mipnei amistaklin bo. That's the continuation. It's all part of the statement of Rabbi Huda. He too is not allowed to perform Birkas Kohanim because all the people are going to look up. They're going to look at his hands while doing Birkas Kohanim. Now, what's the problem with that? So, Lechor, it's referring to the Gemara at the end of Chagiga, that the Gemara Chagiga says you're not allowed to look up Birkas Kohanim because the Shechina is Shor on Yadav. So, these things are going to draw attention to people. So, that's why they're not allowed to go up to perform Birkas Kohanim. Yeah, that's what Rashi says. Yeah, Rashi says, look at the Rashi all the way towards the top. The first narrow line in Rashi says, Kohen Shiyesh B'yodav Mumin, Fisha Am Mistaklin Bo, people will look at it. V'amrina M'sach Chagiga, the middle, I thought it was the end of Chagiga. Ha'mistaka B'Kohanim B'sha Shinosin Eskapeim Einav Kohos. People who look at the hands of the Kohanim during the Birkas Kohanim, their eyes become dim, they lose their eyesight. Fisha Ashchina Shora Al Yadayim. Says the Gemara now, Tana Mumin Shamru, B'fanav Yadav Raglav. When we mentioned Mumin in the Mishnah, we didn't only mean that on the hands, we even meant Mumin that appear on the face or on the legs, because remember, they didn't wear any shoes. Anything that's noticeable to the Am could draw attention. Such people cannot perform Birkas Kohanim. Am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Yadav Buhaknios Lo Yisas Kapa. Person who has this condition to the hands can't do Birkas Kohanim. Now, Buhaknios is also, Rashi tells us in French, Lontaish. Don't know what that means either. Is there an English definition? Via spotted hands, Rashi, I have here particularly white spots, could be other spots as well. These will also draw attention. He cannot do Birkas Kohanim. Tani Nami Hachi, Yadav Bhoknaos, Loisa Eskapov. Here too, also, we say a person with spotted hands may not do Birkas Kohanim. Akumos and Akushos, Loisa Eskapov. Akumos, Rashi tells us, is still higher up in the narrow lines. Kufos, his hands, his fingers are bent. Or Akushos, or Tzidim, they're bent up, backwards, bent to the side. Again, different things that are going to draw attention. He cannot do Birkas Kohanim. Amr of Asi, Chifni, these are people who come from Haifa, or Bishni, that's in parentheses, maybe another place. Lo Yisas Kapav, they're not allowed to do this. Rashi tells us, because they are, the way they speak, they're not so clear in the way they articulate the words, so that's they're not allowed to do Birkas Kohanim. Tanei Nami Hachi, the Brisa says similar to this, that Ein Moridin L'fnei Ateva, Lo Anshe Beis Shan, Lo Anshe Beis Chaifa, Lo Anshe Tivonim, all these people from these locations may not do it. The Birkas Kohanim, Mipnei Shekorin, La'alfin Ayinin, La'ayinin Alfin, they don't distinguish between Ayin and Alf. We also don't distinguish. This would disqualify any Ashkenazi and most Sephardim as well, unless you do Ayin like that. That's very rare to find that, unless you're a real hardcore Sephardi. There's once a series of letters, correspondence between Rav Avadi Yosef and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim wrote to Rav Avadi, at least for Parsha Zachi, you should have the Sephardim distinguish between a Kometz and a Pasach. They say everything, say A versus A. At least for Parsha Zachi, to Mekayim the Din Derai, so do it that way. Rav Avadi Parsha comes back, when you guys start doing the difference between an Aleph and Ayin, we'll start doing the difference between a Pasach and a Kometz. So
there's many people who, when they lay, they do the difference.
There are many, I heard, there's
Ari's
some.
Brother, I know, in Nativ Arya,
uh-huh. So there are some, I wouldn't say a lot, there are some who do it,
yeah.
So you have to really practice. If you weren't raised to speak that way, it's very, very challenging. So anyways, the people from these different cities in Eretz Yisrael themselves weren't able to do that. That disqualified them. Now again, this would disqualify all of us. None of us are Kohanim, I don't think, here. But most Ashkenazi Kohanim wouldn't be able to do this. But it seems that the custom is to allow for anyways. Amar le Rabbi Chiya le Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, Umali ata Levi, pasa ata minaduchen, mishum de avi kolcha. Had you been a Levi, Rabbi Chiya says to Rabbi Shimon, you would be disqualified from doing the singing, because avi kalcha, your voice is so thick. And the halacha is, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that one of the psulim by Levi, Levi can have any psul that a kohen can. He doesn't get disqualified for psulim except for if it's in his voice. If somehow in his voice is too thick or something about it is strange, that would disqualify him. So this, apparently Reb Chiya had a strange voice, thick voice, very deep voice, I guess. So asa amr le lavua, so he says, go tell your father. So I'm not sure what this response was. I guess his father also had such a deep voice, maybe. I think Rabbi Shimon said, tell your father Rabbi what you said to Rabbi Chiya. Okay, I'm not sure why. Just tell him. Amalei zil amalei.
No, he went and he told his father.
Aha. Uh-huh, okay, fine. So Rabbi Shimon told his father, okay, what Rabbi Chiya said to him. Amalei, so Rabbi, his father said to Rabbi Shimon, zil amalei, go respond back to Rabbi Chiya. Uchshata magia, etza, when you get to the pasuk, v'chi kisela, lo nimtas mecharif megadev. So you say chakisi and you don't know how to say ches properly, you say hikisi. So the context of the pasuk sounds like you're doing megadev, you're blasphemizing Hashem. So don't start pointing out imperfections in other people when you yourself have certain imperfections in yourself. You can probably say chikisi, you say hikisi. So that was the response back to him. Sounds like, again, the back and forth between Rav Avadi Yosef and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, Zivalgin lo yisas kapov. Zivalgin have some issue with their eyelashes, I think. Does Rashi explain what this is? Eyes always dripping, like an open tear duct. So such a person is not allowed to do birkas konim because that's going to draw attention. Wasn't it once this person who was in the neighborhood of Rav Huna? He spread his hands, meaning he did birkas konim. Says the Gemara. He was dash biru means he threshed. He was in the he was comfortable in the city. Rashi says dash biruhava kfarhayu ragilin anshe iru. People knew what he looked like. Velo hayu mistaklin bo. Oh, it wasn't strange to them that they would look up. They were used to seeing him in it every day, so that wasn't going to draw attention. There was permitted therefore. Tanin amihachi, the Brisa says along the same lines that zavalgin loisas kapav, person who has this open tear duct where he's constantly dripping his tears coming down, he cannot do birkas konim. However, im hayadash biro mutter, if his people are used to seeing him this way, then it's mutter. Am Rabbi Yochanan suma ba'achas meinav loisas kapav, person who's blind in only one eye is not allowed to perform birkas kohanim. V'ha hahu David b'shivusa the Rabbi Yochanan have a paris yadei. Wasn't there a person in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan who did do this and who was blind in one eye? Hahu dash biro have he also was. So I guess the idea was, the person who's blind in one eye, that, you know, the fact that one eye will be lazy, won't move with the other eye, that's going to, exactly, draw attention. Tani Nami Hochi, the Brisa says the same thing again. Suma ba'achas meinav lo yisas kapav, a person shouldn't do it if he's blind in one eye. However, im hayadash biro mutter, if people know him, are comfortable with seeing him, then he's permitted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah, Misha yadav tzvos lo yisas kapav, a person who has hands were dyed, should not perform birkas konim. Tana im rov anshe ha'ir melachten bekach mutter. If majority of the city do this type of avoda, type of melacha, where everyone's hands, or most people's hands, are dyed, then it would be permitted because this would be considered dash b'iro. Okay, the Mishnah tells us now, ha'omer eini over l'fnei ha'teva b'tzvunim af b'levonim lo yavor. Person said, I'm not going to be sheikh tzibur in colored clothing, so he's not allowed to be a sheikh tzibur even if he wears white clothing only. So the reason being, because we're choshed him, the Gemara is going to tell us that perhaps a certain minus has taken upon him. Lo yavar b'sandal, a person says, I'm not going to go be a sheikh tzibur in a sandal. Ain't over af yichav, he's not allowed to go even be barefoot to be sheikh tzibur. Lo yavar af yichav lo yavar. Ha'usit filaso agula, person makes his tefillah, means his tefillin, referring to his tefillin, a circle. It's a sakana, and not only is it a sakana, vein bo mitzvah, it's also not a mitzvah, it's a sakana because they're concerned if it's circular shaped, it might be able to press into a person's head, easier than a box. And also, it's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah has to be a square, it's not a circle. Nasa al metzcho, a person places it on his forehead, not above his hairline, o al pas yado, or places it on his with his palm, I guess. Hareza derachminus, that's derachminus. Tzipin zav, if he codes the tefillin in gold, v'nas al beis onkli, shalo hareza derach achitonim, and places a beis onkli. What's beis onkli? On his shirt or something? They place on his sleeve. That's also, these things are derach chitonim. These are derach chitonim, interesting language. Rashi tells us it means chitonim, last narrow line. B'nei adam ha'holchim achrei daitam chutz midas chachamim. They all go based on their own das. They want to be unique and different. This is called das chitonim. So my time,
What does it say? He puts it on the clothing itself, as opposed to on the...
Underneath it. So right, the Rashi continues to say, d'binan l'chala os v'lo l'achem los. Comes to the it's supposed to really be underneath your shirt or covered by maybe the covering. It's supposed to be for you and us, not for everybody else. As opposed to the tefillah for Rosh, it's supposed to be for everybody to see. Gemara now explains to us my time. What's the reason why a person says, I'm not going to wear colored clothing to daven for the Amid? What's the reason why we don't let him be tzibur at all? Shema minas nizrik abo. They thought maybe he was convinced by some of the minim that he to do this type of thing. Apparently, wearing colored clothing was derech minas. Seems like a great source that persons should only wear white shirts only. That seems to be from we learn from the Gemara here. I don't really mean that, but ha'osa tefilasa agula sakana ein bo mitzvah. The person who makes his tefillin circular is a sakana, and it's also not a kim of the mitzvah. Lema tanina. Perhaps the Mishnah tells us the Tanir Rabbanan tefillin merubaos halach mosh misinai. The tefillin must be square. V'merava b'tafren v'lachsonam. When it comes to the way it's sewed together and the way the lachson, the angle, the diagonal across, has to be Rashi points out b'tafren v'lachsonam shutofer beis ha'moshavan. When you sew the bottom part of the box, the top part of the box, sewed together. Make sure you don't ruin, mess up the box when you're pulling the strings to tighten them together. It has to be an etzba. Each side has to be an etzba, and the diagonal has to be an etzba and 2/5. That's doing simple geometry. You'll get to those numbers. Now, obviously, there's a certain amount we allow. You can't have a perfect square. There's a certain amount of millimeters, they permit it to be within the range, the margin of error, to be considered a square. Okay, let's continue to the next mission now, onto the next page, whatever we could do. Actually, I skipped a point. Sorry, I'm going to pop the last line. Masisin Davida Kiam Guza. So was this a question, by the way? Did I miss that? I already learned this mission once before. Why repeat it? Papa says, Masisin Davida Kiam Guza. Misha tells us that it's a circle is Aser. Rashi tells us that Kiam Guza, Agulos Kagos, if it's circular like a nut, Aval Agula Kibetz of a Kadasha Shapidami, but if it's a shape more of a ellipse, I guess, right? So that's what it's called, right? So then it would be permitted, though, to Sila Bryson Masisin. Had you only had one of our mission alone, you would think only a circle is usher, but an ellipse would be permitted. That's why you need the other mission to say, no, only a square is permitted, but nothing circular at all.
So if it's not a perfect circle, then it would be okay?
No, the Havmina would be, from our mission, you would think it would be okay from this mission. Only a perfect circle is a problem. Tells us that the other mission has to be Dafka square. Okay, we only have 10 minutes. Let's take a stab at the next Amud, I guess, see what we do. The Mishnah tells us, or you could do Chazar. This is basically from Brachos, if you guys want to just do Chazar from Maseches Brachos. Person says, Yivarecha Tovim HaRezeh Derech Minas. The person says, bless Hashem and all the good things that happen, that's Derech Minas, because he doesn't include all the Risharim, all the evil people as well. And Rashi actually quotes what we spoke about yesterday, about Chalvona, about being included, even the Reachra, even the Risharim get included as part of the Minim. You have to include everybody. Then the Mishnah says, Alkan Tzipor Yagi Rachmecha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has such rachman when it comes to sending away the mother bird when you take the eggs or the little chicks. Vatov Yizacha Shimcha, and all good, Kadosh Baruch Hu's name should be remembered on good, implying but not on bad. Modim Modim Meshatna. So a person who says Modim twice, we quiet him. Hamechan Barayos, person who says in the Torah, it doesn't really mean a ras, it really is a nickname, it's supposed to be a mashal for something else. And Mishaskin, so we quiet him down, because Arias is something real. Don't just say it refers to something different than what it's referring to. And Ha'omer, person who interprets the pasuk of Mizaracha lo yititan lehavi lemolech, person says what it means, the pasuk that you shouldn't give your children to Moloch, what it means is, lo sitin la'avra bar miyoso, don't give it to a arma, don't have tashrus with a non-Jew. If a person interprets it that way, mishakin oso b'nezifa, we quiet him down b'nezifa with pushing him away. Because that's not true. The pasuk means, literally, don't give him to Moloch. There's an avodah zarah called Moloch, don't reinterpret it in a different way. So Gemara says, Bishma modim modim to mechzik shei rishios. I understand why we quiet him when he says modim twice. It sounds like you're saying modim to two different gods. Valtov yizachar shimcha. Not me. We understand why you quiet him when he says, I praise Hashem on the good. Why do you quiet him? Because the pasuk, because mashma al tov in al ra'lov. They only thank Hashem and praise him on the good, but not the bad. And our Mishnah tells us in Maseches Brachos Tanan, Chayv Adam Levarch Aharak Shem Shahum Varch Al Tova. You're supposed to thank Hashem both on the good and the bad. In the future, we're going to say Tova Meitiv even on the bad. Now we say Baruch Dayan Emes. But in the future, when we see everything works out together nicely, even on the Ra, we're going to say Tova Meitiv because even that's good. Elakan Tzibur Yagi Rachamecha Mai Taima. But why, when a person says the Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Racham and reaches all the way to the nest of the birds, why do we quiet him? That seems to be a very nice thing. So Mara says Pligi Bat Trei Amaroi. It's Machlokas Amaroi. Marava. Biosi Bar Aben. Rabbi Yosi Bar Zev Vida. You're creating all this jealousy because all the animals are going to say, wait a second, why does he get such rachman? Why does a bird get such rachman? But all of us, we get completely disregarded. And that's going to create kinub of masabracious. The other opinion is the other opinion says no, because you're making all Kadosh Baruch Hu's actions as rachman, all because reasons. We do a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs because he tells us to do them because they're decrees, they're gzeros, and that's the only reason why we do them. There's once a person who davened in front of the rabbi. Amar, he said the following while he's davening Kishmon Esra. Just like the Kadosh Baruch Hu shows great rachamim to the tzipor and the kan, so he should show great rachamim to us. So Amar Rabba says, wow, what a great Shirach Tzibor. He really knows how to ask rachamim Kadosh Baruch Hu. What a wonderful thing he's doing. But Abai says to Rabba, but don't we learn the Mishnah Tanan that we're supposed to quiet such a person who talks about those? So Rabba agreed to this, but Rabba l'chududi l'abai hu d'abai. He simply wanted to sharpen Abai to test him out. He was giving him a little test. Abai was the Talmud of Rabba. And we see this concept in a few places that Rabba was testing out Abai. Hahu d'nachis kamid Rabbi Chia. There was a person davening in front of Rabbi Chia. And Amr Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora, Ha'adi, Hachazik, Ha'amitz has this whole long, lengthy list of shvachim for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So Amalei, then Rabbi Chiya says, Simatit leshvacha demarach? Did you finish praising Hashem? Was that all you had to say? So he explains to him, Hani Talasa, Ilav de Kasfina Moshe Baraisa. The three that we do say is Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora. Those three that we say had Moshe Rabbeinu not written in the Torah, if also Knesset Gadol of Isakninu, and had not put it as part of the Shemot Esrei, on in law Minolei, we could not have said this on our own. Vat Amr's Kulihai, and you say all these different things, we would say nothing had it not been for Moshe Rabbeinu and Knesset Gadol. Why? Mashal Adam, I give you a mashal. Shayulo Elif Alfe Alfam, a person has thousands and thousands of Dine Zahav, thousands of gold coins. But you Musakal Sindos so, and you praise him, Dine Kesef. Oh, you have such nice silver. You're praising a guy who's so wealthy, you're praising a guy, a billionaire, with you have so many hundreds of dollars. That's not a praise. So lo gnai hulo is not gnai. So for us to praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who is of course infinitely great, any praise we give is not going to do justice. So the only heter we have to engage even in any shvach is what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down and what Knesset Gedolah had codified as part of the Shemona Esrei. Amr b'chanina. Now Rabbi Chanina goes further and says Hakol bide shemaim chutz mir shemaim. A different topic now. There's also Gemara in Brachos that everything's bide shemaim. Everything Hakadosh Baruch Hu does is kachat pratis. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is in full control, except He allows us to have yir shemaim. That's all up to us. There's machlokas whether or not you could daven for yir shemaim or not. Machlokas the Marashan Chazanish whether you could daven for it. Shenamar sounds like a strange machlokas between the Marashan Chazanish, but it's an interesting discussion. Shenamar v'ata yishol me'ashem ma Hashem alkecha shoel mimcha kiim liyra. Ki'im Lira. I think this is actually next week's Parsha. I think it's in Parsha's Akif. So now Yisrael says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, all I ask from you is Yira. That's only one thing I ask. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu says. All Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is Yira. One simple thing. Says the Gemara, Michlal di Yira, Milsa Zuchi. Does this seem to imply that such a small thing, all I ask, just one thing? It's not just a small thing, it's a big thing. In the Gavi Moshe Rabbeinu, Milsa Zuchi Yosahi. Yeah, for Moshe, it was pretty easy for him. It was a small thing for him. For us, it might be hard, but it was one small thing for Moshe Rabbeinu. Mashal Adam Shemavakshin Heimanu Kli Gadol V'Yeshlo Dome Olav Kli Katam. So, it's similar to a person who you're asking from him a Kli Gadol, and he has a small kli katan. Katan vein lo domer lav kli gadol. But if let's say a person asks for katan, he doesn't have it, so then it's like a big gadol. Meaning, for Moshe Rabbeinu, who already had accomplished Yesh Shemayim, for him it was nothing, because he was looking for much greater goals, the kli gadol. So for him it was a small matter. But for a person who doesn't even have a kli katan, so that kli katan becomes a kli gadol. So for us, who don't have Yesh Shemayim, it becomes a large matter. Okay, we can try to get to this Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Ha'omer Shema Shema, Ko'omer Modim Modim Tami. Someone who says Shema twice is like saying Modim Modim twice, and we tell him to not do that. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, Ha'kor Es Shema U'Kofla, a person who says Shema, and then repeats it, Ha'reza Meguna. That's very disgraceful. Meguna Hu Dehavi, Shuki Lo Meshakin Lev. It's just something in Meguna, but we don't quiet him. How come, did we say above, that a person who does say Shema Shema, we do quiet him? Where is his Lokasha? Ha'damar Milsa Milsa V'tani La, Ha'damar Psuka Psuka. The statement where we said it's Maguna, that's where a person says Milsa Shema Shema Yisrael Yisrael. He repeats word after word. That's not like, it's not as if you're saying two different people. It's the same God, rather. The same God, you're just repeating the Pesukim. Sometimes people who don't get the words right are very careful and meticulous the way they pronounce it. They'll repeat each word over and over again. Not that so healthy necessarily, but it's never Maguna to do that. But a person who says the whole Pasuk Shema Yisrael the whole way through, then says the whole pasuk again, that sounds like you're speaking to shtei rishios. Okay, again, lo kasha ha damar milsa milsa v'tani lei, ha damar psuka psuka v'tani lei. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, v'duma meikara lo kivan daite. So maybe when he initially had said Shema the first time around, he didn't have proper kavana, so we tell him to repeat it. So v'hasha kivan daite. So the second time around, he wanted to have the proper kavana. That seems like he has very good intentions. So why do we quiet the person to say Shema a second time? Amalei, Harfusa Kapi Shemaya, are you friends with Hashem? What kind of relation do you have with him? You're going to say, let me talk to you one more time, I'll say it with much more kavana. I'm not sure exactly what the words mean here, and maybe it's a better English, well, I didn't say anything better, but is it an English translation as to what this is compared to?
I'm going to hit him with a hammer until he concentrates.
Okay, so that's the phrase, meaning when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't just have this very casual talk with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't say, okay, now try again now. Speak to him again with proper intention. We want the guy to have the first time around the proper kavanah, so therefore we don't allow the guy to recite Shema. We don't advise him to recite Shema yet a second time. Hamachana b'arayos mishatkin osa, a person who starts talking about all the arayos as if they're not really arayos, it's referring to something else, we quiet him down as well. Tana Rav Yosef, kalon aviv, kalon imo. So when the Pasuk tells us that don't lo yigala ervas imcha, ervas avicha, we don't say refer. The guy says, "Oh, it doesn't refer to real erva of a parent. It refers to his embarrassment, his kalon, his embarrassment. That's what it refers to." If such a person says that, a person says such a thing, we quiet him. And ha'omer mizar titan lahavir v'chule. Person says the halachas of molech. The pasuk of molech doesn't refer to actual avodah zarah molech, of passing a child through the fire of molech. Rather, he says that what it means is don't give a child, don't have tashmish with a nachris. So Tani Debe Rabbi Shmuel Bisrael Haba Kusis Holy Mimenu Ben Lavodazara Hakasa Medaber. So I think this is what we're saying. What a person tried interpreting what it meant was, don't give Yisrael, don't interpret it to mean that Yisrael who has a child from a Kusis and has a child, that is what the pasuk is referring to. That is what you should not say the pasuk is referring to. That's incorrect. Rather, it's referring to real Moloch. Okay, so we requested yesterday we should try to do the Chazara quickly, a 1 minute recap. Let's try to do this because.
One and a half,
right? Okay.
Harder.
So we'll see what we could do. So we start off, the Mishnah was telling us that the halachas of reciting psukim and really maturgamam, you shouldn't say more than one targum at a time on the Chumash, and we have up until three to say for Navi. You could do the targum of three psukim when it comes to Navi. We also spoke about you're skipping around. One cannot skip around in Chumash unless it's in one topic. And in Navi, you can skip around within two different topics, as long as you get to the next topic when the Metargum stops saying it. And within Treasar, we said also you can normally not go from one Sefer to the next, but within Treasar, one may go from one to the next, as long as you do not go backwards. Then Mishnah gave a whole list of different things, what a Katan can do and it cannot do, and what a Pokeach, a guy who wore shorts, what he can and what he cannot do, and what a Suma can and cannot do as well. And we went through the different reasons why a person who does a Maftir is supposed to be doing the Musaf afterwards. Either it shouldn't come to fight who's going to get the money, or it should, because of the issue of kavod, when it came to katan, we said it's not really the kavod of the fighting of the child, rather it's the kavod of the fighting of the parent or the rebbe. We had a discussion about a gadol who wears shorts, that too, rather a katan who wears shorts, no difference there either, because kavod tzibur, anybody wearing shorts should not lead the tefillah. And then we spoke about the discussion why a blind person may or may not do Purus al Shema, the question whether Suma gets Hana. He doesn't actually get Hana, but he does get Hana, the fact that if he were to carry a torch, people could advise him where and where not to go. Rabbi Yehuda felt that it wasn't considered a Hana, therefore Rabbi Yehuda thought he couldn't say Yotzei HaMaros. And the Mishnah had a whole list of different Mumim. Suma can do all mitzvahs. Then the Mishnah spoke about a number of different mumim that disqualifies a kohen from performing the birkas kohanim, and among them is the hands, the feet, the legs, also the way you pronounce words, whether it's clear or unclear, ayin versus aleph, and we mentioned something about a levi having a thick or deep voice that disqualifies a levi, perhaps. And then the Mishnah at the bottom of Chaf Chutal Amr Beis told us that a person should, the different things that a person might be were concerned, he might have minus, either because he wouldn't wear colored clothing or wear sandals. And we spoke about a tefillin not being circular shaped, has to be square shaped, it's both dangerous and it's also not proper halacha. Then the Amr Aleph now in Chaf Hei, we spoke about different things that a person says tefillah, we should quiet him down from, of which we said a person says, the bless Hashem only on the good, not the bad. If a person says how much rachman there is for the kan b'tzipor, and a person says modim modim twice or shma shma twice, and a person who's mechana arayos, who says when arayos is spoken about in the Torah, it doesn't really mean arayos, and a person who reinterprets the words molech to something else, all those are examples of people who we quiet him down from saying the shliach tzibor. And finally, we saw in the Gemara that a person who goes on and on describing the shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we quiet him down as well, because the only hat that we have to say any praise for Hashem is because Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the Torah, and the Knesset Gedolah had really put it as part of the Shemona Esrei. Okay.
I like it. It's good.
Okay.